You can keep your Bibles open to John 6. Let's have a word of prayer as we come before the Word this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today to worship together, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to look at your Word. We confess to you, Lord, that we do struggle to live in light of who we really are in Christ. I'm sure that maybe we have struggled even this past week to do so. So thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that's found in him and promised even in the passage that was read. Lord, help us believe the truth of your word. Guide us as we go to your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today is the last day we finish up this mini-series called Identity Check. Like I said, when I first started this series off, I felt like it was a topic that we needed to go through as a church. I believe that it was something that many of us needed to remember or maybe realign our lives so that we're living in light of the truths of who we are in Christ. And we really needed to take a long, hard look. And I hope you've done that. I hope that you've taken a look and seen of maybe potential functional identities that you're living by that aren't necessarily who you really are in Christ. I mean, I don't know about you, even as I've gone through this series as the pastor, you know, there has been weeks of where I've gone like, I am living by a false identity this week. Even this past week, I let my mood be swayed by the acceptance of others rather than who I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's a constant thing that we need to come back to as believers and to arrange our lives in who we really are. It's too easy to forget who we are in Christ. It is too easy to forget that in Christ, all our sins are forgiven, all of them. It's too easy to forget that their weight of guilt does not need to weigh us down anymore. We simply need to take it to the cross. And all our sin was paid for by Christ on the cross. It's too easy to forget that you're loved in Christ. Even when you go through hard and difficult times, you are loved in Christ. And you've always been loved by God in Christ. It's easy to forget that you're adopted by God, that all who are in Christ are children of God. You're adopted and brought into this family. The church never discarded and never removed from the family name. It's too easy to forget that you've been crucified with Christ. That when you were united with Christ in salvation, your old self was made powerless and is no longer in control. We're now no longer under the dominion of sin to obey its lusts and desires. It's too easy to forget you're accepted by God in Christ. We functionally resort in the way that we live to try to win God's approval. I'm going to do this to win God's approval. I'm going to do that so that God's happy with me, rather than resting in the reality that God looks at us through the lens of his Son and is satisfied with us because of his Son. It's too easy, as we looked at last week, to forget we're enabled by God in Christ to live lives that are characterized by holiness and righteousness. When we come to the Lord in saving faith, he has made us new creations, imparting to us the Holy Spirit, who now indwells us and gives us the power to say yes what we need to say yes to and no what we need to say no to. And just a reminder that no one Christian in this room is better equipped than someone else to live a life that's characterized by righteousness. Well, today, I'll remind you that it's too easy to forget we are secure in Christ. That all who come to genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are secure in the Lord and will be saved at the final judgment. We could use a little security right now, don't you think? In light of recent news as it is. It's been like that for a while. People are nervous in our country. People have been nervous actually for quite some time. Keith was telling me he talked with Pam over at PB and Eats, just down the street from here. And she was reporting to us that people are nervous about the economy at that time. And well, how do you know we're nervous? Because people are buying like crazy. My sales are through the roof. You're like, why is that the case? Well, it hasn't been like this since the pandemic. Because when people get really nervous, they resort to comfort food. And that's what she sells, comfort food. And I'm probably embedding after yesterday, her sales are going to go up a little bit over this next week. Times are interesting, to say the least. And there's no question in my mind that people need some security right now, as it were. Well, listen, I can say with confidence this morning to you all that I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I do know what the future holds for all who are in Christ. It's not a future fear filled with a fear of judgment before the Lord, filled with fear of uncertainty, but it's a future filled with security, of peace, and eternal life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you are secure. The God that you've committed your faith to will not abandon you on the last day. He will never cast you out of his presence. You are secure in Jesus Christ. Let that sink in. Now, there are plenty today. I've actually seen a resurgence of this in Christianity, plenty that believe the Bible, that think a person who's genuinely converted to the Lord, who's saved from their sins, can actually lose their salvation. There's been a big resurgence of that lately. I understand why they arrive at such a conclusion, but I think if you just do careful study of the scriptures, you should walk away from the Bible, not with uncertainty about whether you could lose your salvation, but with the certainty that those who are in Christ, genuinely in Christ, are secure in Christ. That is our identity. We have in Christ assurance and surety and a certainty that all whom God saves, he fully and truly and completely saves to the end. We are secure in Christ. So let's develop it a little bit this morning, just like we've done in the past. First, notice this. We are secure because when God saves, he saves to the end. When God saves, he saves to the end. This is the point that Jesus is making in the passage that we just read in our scripture reading. Look down at verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, shall not, and believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you've seen me and yet do not believe. All that, now he switches as he's talking to these Jewish people who want him to make more bread, basically, because he had just done that at the beginning of the chapter. Verse 37, all that the Father will give, as you can see there, gives me, will come to me, and whoever comes to me, notice what he says, I will never cast out. It's emphatic. Double negatives are bad in English. It's awesome in Greek. It means absolutely no possible way that I would ever think about casting out that person, in verse 37, who comes to me. In no way and in no times would he ever do such a thing. Verse 38. For, Jesus speaking, I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus is saying, I came down on a mission to do the will of God, the Father. And what is that will? Well, you see that in verse 39 and verse 40. And this is the will, verse 39, of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he's given me, but raise it on the last day, for this is the will of my Father. What is the will of his Father? The will of one who sent him, in verse 39, he'll lose nothing. In verse 40, what's the will of the Father? That everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. This idea of raising up is the very language of new life, the very resurrection, this victory that's found in Christ. They will not be lost. They will not perish. But will have everlasting life. This is the very will of God. This is the very purpose that Jesus came to fulfill in his mission, to save a people for eternity through his death on the cross. What's our call? Well, that's verse 40. It's very simple. Look what he says. Everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him. as Ev so clearly put in her testimony earlier, you know, just a few minutes ago. If Jesus is God, I got to believe everything that he says. To look on Jesus and believe what he says. These are the ones, verse number 40, that Jesus says, I will raise him, I will raise those, that person up on the last day. This is a promise that Jesus makes to all who believe in him for salvation. And his promises aren't like the typical parent promise to get a kid off your back but that you don't hold any water to. It is a genuine, true, lasting forever, an unconditional, in that sense, promise. He keeps them fully, truly, and without hesitation. So those whom God saves, he saves to the end. This is why Jesus said in John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Notice, he does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. To the one who believes in Christ, he has eternal life and does not come into judgment. That's why Paul can say in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. That's why Jesus says a little later in the book of John, John chapter 10, look at these verses, verses 25 through 30. Jesus answered them, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. He's explaining to the Jews why they won't believe in him, the ones that are rejecting him. You're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And notice this, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And in case you're wondering, well, could they escape? No, no, no. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Of course, it's implied he's not going to let them go out of his hand, just like a good shepherd wouldn't do that. But you can't come and take them. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. They will never perish. They have eternal life. No one is able to snatch them out of Jesus' hand. Do you get it yet? They are secure. They are safe. They will experience the fullness of eternal life because salvation in the mind of God is a package deal. All of it. All of it. Those whom he saves, he saves to the end. So you have a verse like this, Romans chapter 8, verse 29 through 30. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Now notice this verse. Notice the tense of the verbs. It's purposefully written this way. Those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. It's all in that tense for a reason. None of you are glorified this morning, even though sometimes you feel like you should be treated as such. You're not. None of you are glorified. But you might be called. You see, you might be justified. But why does he say glorified in the same tense that he says predestined, called, and justified? Is because it's a full package deal. Those that God predestines, he glorifies. Those that God calls, he glorifies. Those that God justifies, he glorifies. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you are secure. You are secure because when God saves, he saves to the end. This is where your assurance in salvation must rest, in him and the work he does. It lies in the finished work of Christ and the power of God to save those whom he would save. Or as he said in John 6 here, those who look to the Son. And when we forget this, when we lose sight of this, it's very easy to lose any confidence about the future and worry about what's coming. And also it's easy to really question whether or not we're saved. Well, let me ask you, are you looking to the Son? this morning? Are you putting your faith in Christ, or are you practically looking into your own works for salvation? Because that's what many professing believers do. We look to our own works. Are you looking to how you feel spiritually this week versus last week? I hate to break it to you, but we go up and down in our spiritual life, don't we? I mean, I always go back to the Old Testament in 1 Kings 17. You have this great work of Elijah that's being done. 1 Kings chapter 18, he's on a mountain, fire's called down from heaven. And where is he in 1 Kings 19? Do you remember that? He's running for his life saying, God, you've abandoned me, I'm about to die. Right? I always tell people, watch for your spiritual highs, because guess what's coming? We can't rely on how we feel in our spiritual life. Look to the Son. Secondly, we are secure because God seals us with His Spirit. One of the greatest passages in all of the Bible and all the blessings we have in salvation is Ephesians chapter 1. In it, the Apostle Paul talks about how God chose us in Christ, how God predestined us to adoption, how God forgave us, redeemed us, lavished His grace on us, gave us an inheritance, and now look at the screen, what he does in verses 13 and 14. In him, in Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, notice, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. When we believed in Christ, we were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. That's what this is saying. Now, it's not common to, I've asked our resident mailman in here. We don't get letters much in the mail, like real letters, handwritten old letters, right? How many of you correspond with pen pals? Anymore? Anyone? Okay, we got one. So that's a pretty low percentage, all right? Less than 1%. Still corresponds that way. No, nobody really writes letters anymore. It's pretty rare. But I do remember my oldest sister, as a matter of fact, when she was in high school, pen pals was in. That's a thing that you did. You wrote people across the country or across the world, and she got a wax sealer kit for, I don't know if it was a birthday or something, but I still remember it. It had her initials on it, and when she would write the letter, she'd put it in an envelope, and then she would seal it. Now, if you don't know what that is, kids, you can Google it, and you'll learn all about it, all right? And the idea was you'd seal that shut, of course, to make sure it would be secure, that no one would open it. But the other thing was it was a seal of identity. When that pen pal got the note, she could see in the back JT and know that this was coming from Julie Trepanier, because the seal was on it. And so us, verse 14 and 13 and 14 in Ephesians 1, when we come to Christ in faith, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's given to us, and it shows and proves that we are His. That's the idea, sealed. Right? Just like a birth certificate has to have an official seal to be recognized. So us, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit in Christ to show that we are genuine and real and authentically the Lord's. We're not potentially the Lord's. We're not potentially saved, but actually saved, actually redeemed, actually His. So we'll say the same thing in Ephesians 4, verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You are signed, sealed, delivered. You are. You are the Lord's. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. So this giving of the Spirit of the Lord is just another way of showing how secure we are in Christ. How secure every single one of us in Christ. For all who know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are secure in your salvation. Because not only does God save to the end, but He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit, which is evidence that we are saved to the end. This is our identity, sealed by the Holy Spirit. So I don't know what tomorrow brings. I don't know what your personal life, what tomorrow brings. I don't even know in our current political situation in this world what tomorrow brings. But you can lay your head asleep at night knowing that you are secure and safe in Christ, and nothing in this world can take that away. Nothing. Nothing. Thirdly, this is where people kind of get wrestle with this idea. We are secure through steadfast faith in Christ. And I'm stealing exactly what the Bible says there. It uses those very words, through faith. We struggle with the idea of, are we safe forever? Because we see verses in the scripture that, oh, wow, what do you make of this verse? How do you make sense of this? And so we don't think we're actually secure in our salvation. We can lose our salvation. So you see passages in scripture. I'll put a couple up here. Colossians chapter 1, verses 22 through 23. He is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith. Stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So right there in the middle of the verse, you catch that? If indeed you continue, do you see it? In the faith. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. And in both of these passages, it implies, it seems, that we might lose faith, right? So that a person could be saved at one point and not saved later in life because they no longer believe. But I chose the wording of the third point very carefully because that's exactly how the scripture presents it in 1 Peter 1, 5. So as you see there on the screen, 1 Peter chapter 1, let me just read verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept or reserved or guarded in heaven for you. Notice, who by God's power are being guarded through faith. That's why I use the language through faith. For a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, I gave you verses 3 and 4 to give you context. He's talking about the blessings that we have in Christ. Here's the great blessings we have in Christ. Living hope, resurrection of Christ gives us this hope. We've been born again, and then you have this inheritance. And then he says in verse number 5, who by God's power, who? You. Who's you? The ones he just said were saved are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You are given new life and are guarded, notice first, by God's power. Don't miss that. God's power. Think about God's power for a minute and how powerful God's power is. The power that created this very world. The power that God has given. It energizes everything that we see. That is guarding us. And it's not simply that it's guarding us in the passage, but through faith. God works in us so that we continue to believe. That's his power evidence as we continue to have faith. Here's how I like to put some of these, you know, really hard concepts to understand. From God's perspective, it's a done deal. Right? Called, justified, glorified. From our perspective, we can't see that. Can you? We're just called to have faith. And continue to have faith. That's our calling. And those that are genuinely saved continue to have faith. Why? Because they're guarded by God's power. Because God's done a work in them. And they are genuinely secure in him. So I keep going back to Ev's testimony because it's a message in herself, in itself, so that she makes connections with the Old Testament and New Testament she never would have. By God's grace and God's work in her life. John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. This is why it says what it says. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. That's a designation of those in the church. And those who do not walk and continue in faith are not of us. That's what he's saying. they went out, that it might be plain that they are all not of us. That's why you have so many instructions in the New Testament. Here's what you do when someone who sins, you confront them. Why? Because you don't know if they're saved or not, but God uses that process to keep them there. That's why you have the book of Hebrews. Don't lose faith in Christ. Don't lose faith in Christ. You go down that road, you start sinning like that, watch your heart. Others come along and help. Why? To keep us on the road. That's God's guarding by his power. From our perspective, we cannot see what God sees. We cannot. All we can see is whether or not someone continues to believe, right? That's why you have seed that gets sown, and it rises up at first. And then what happens? The cares of the world choke it out. It's not genuine faith. You see? So for those whom God has objectively justified, they continue to demonstrate subjective, if you want to put it that word, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in the midst of hardship, difficulty, and seasons of doubts. So for those of you right now that might be struggling with sin in your lives, I can tell you that the subjective feeling of being assured will disappear. It will. So what's your call here? To trust in Christ. To have faith in Christ. To continue to believe in Christ and repent of your sin before the Lord and trust his finished work. That's where your assurance will lie. You look at your own heart. I mean, come on. Right? I love what Watchman Nee said to a new convert of Christianity. Watchman Nee, he was a missionary in China last century, mid-1900s. A new convert came to him and said, "No matter how much I pray, no matter how hard I try, I simply cannot seem faithful to my Lord. I think I'm losing my salvation." And Nee replied to him, "Do you see this dog here? He's my dog. He's house trained. He never makes a mess. And my dog's like this, so I can actually, some of you have weird dogs that don't listen. My dog is house trained. He never makes a mess. He's obedient and he's a pure delight to me. Out in the kitchen, I have a son, a baby son. He makes a mess. He throws his food around. He fouls his clothes. He's a total mess. But who is going to inherit my kingdom? Not my dog. My son is my heir. You are Jesus Christ's heir because it's for you that he died. Do you believe that? Do you trust that? We are guarded by God's power through faith. Brothers and believers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, you are secure. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. Why would we not believe in a God like that? And so we end our identity check series and conclude it by asking a couple of questions I started the series off with. Let me ask you, in what do you find your identity? Where does your functional identity lie? Does it lie in your role, whether that be a father or a mother, whether it be a worker, the type of work you are, the student you are? Does it lie in your beauty? Does it lie in your success, your strength, your health? Where does it lie? Where are you finding your identity? Because if you are a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, if you're a true Christian, then your true identity is found in the fact that you've been united to Christ. And therefore, it means this: you are forgiven, you are loved, you are adopted, you are crucified, you are accepted, you are enabled, and yes, you are secure, sealed with the Holy Spirit until we experience the fullness of redemption in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word and your truth. Thank you for the identity, the true identity we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, if there is someone here who does not know you, who does not have the assurance of salvation, that not only when they die will they be in heaven, but Lord, also just knowing that now that they would be changed as they trust you. I pray, Lord, that you'd work in their heart and that they would see their need and trust you. Those who are saved, Lord, may we lean in you. As we're going to sing in a minute, that we would lean safe and secure from all alarms as we are leaning on the everlasting arms. Give us that peace, we pray, practically in our lives, in the midst of great chaos, knowing that in Christ we are secure. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand.